It's always an honor to be in this pulpit, especially on a Wednesday night. Pastor Ms. Hagen getting some well-deserved time. So we always count it an honor and a privilege to for Pastor to ask us to be in his pulpit. You know, I think about, he's in his 60th year of ministry. 60th year. And, you know, you talk, from where he was this, and to what he's doing now, and what the Hagans are doing now, and what Rhema is doing now in Kenneth Hagin Ministries. It's all over the world. And they don't talk about it, but we talk about them because they won't talk about themselves in that manner. And so we just thank God, you know, that one of the heads of a ministry whom God is using mightily is here and is our pastor. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big hand clap for Pastor Hagin. Amen. Praise God. If you got your Bible, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we want to look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I'm reading from the King James Bible. Now, if you know me, if you don't, that's why I say it, but I will tend to take these, thous, and all the other things like that out of it. So if you go to try to find this translation somewhere, you may not be able to find it, but for the most part, we'll stay with it this way, okay? Verse 17, therefore, if any man, anyone, any person, tell your neighbor that's talking about me, if any man be in Christ, the new creation, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. If anyone be in Christ, we're going to talk about being in Christ tonight, and what we have, and one aspect of what we have because we are in Christ, and just talk about living that life. And again, these aren't new things, but just to put ourselves in remembrance, we as a Christian should live a life that is God inside minded. We're in Christ, but he's also in us. That's the thing we want to talk about, is God in us tonight. And I heard a minister say years ago that if a Christian could find out who God is, and then that tells them who they are, they're going to have success in life. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. In Christ. Now, in this chapter, especially, and in chapter 2 of Ephesians, probably no other section of Scripture helps us to see what it means to be in Christ greater than this section of Scripture. Hallelujah. And so he says here in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now look here at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. The direction I want to go tonight is to talk about the glory of God and its relationship to us as being in Christ. When we got in Christ, and Christ is in us, we're in him and he's in us, that glory is now resident in us. It's in you. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans, the 6th chapter. This same glory. You know, if we'd have kept going there, we would have read about, he prayed that we would know what is the greatness of his power. Well, what kind of power? The power that raised Christ from the dead. But look here what it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Christ was raised from the dead by the, here he says, by the glory of the Father. In Ephesians 1, it said by that resurrection power, Christ was raised from the dead. It was God's glory. God's glory that raised up Christ from the dead and caused him to have the victory over death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Raised him up. That glory. All right? Now look at Romans chapter 8 then, though. Now that glory, now we talk about, you know, that, you know, greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world, and the greater one's in me. And this glory is in our flesh, but it really doesn't reside in our flesh. It resides in our spirit. When your spirit leaves this body, that glory is going with it. Okay, this body is just the container here on earth. And that glory is gonna depart with it. It's in our spirit, man. All right? It's a spiritual force. It's more than just saying, God, we give you glory. That's a praise. That's part of it. But it has to do with the very presence of God, the very thing that makes God, God. It's what makes him the King of kings and the Lord of lords for Jesus. But with God, he's sitting on the throne in that glory, surrounded by it. It proceeds out from him. Here in Romans chapter 8 then, verse 11 says, But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Well, here he says the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Well, was it the glory of God or the spirit of God? Yes. Amen. The glory of God in manifestation is the Spirit of God in manifestation. Now, we don't have time to look in the Old Testament. All the times the glory of the Lord showed up. Solomon's dedicating the temple. And they're praying. And that glory proceeded out from that temple. And everybody got on the pavement. It knocked them all down. That glory. They couldn't stand in that presence. Other times that glory would go into manifestation in the Old Testament. It would literally... And that's what used to be above in the Holy of Holies on earth, and above that mercy seat and those angels, those cherubim above their wings, that glory resided there. That's why that high priest only went in there once a year, and that not without the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. It went to that mercy seat one time a year. That same glory that was there, it's not in the temple any longer, but it is in the temple of you and I. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of the glory of God. All right? And if we can ever get through in our thinking and start to renew our minds, we need to live inside out. Because that glory is in us. If that glory can raise Christ from the dead, what can it do in us? Amen. Well, when you got born again, it literally raised you from the dead. Your spirit went from spiritual death to spiritual life. Went from the power of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. From darkness to light, glory to God. Hallelujah. By that glory that's in us. Look over in John chapter 1. Now Jesus came and demonstrated to us what a person does when they minister and live in that with that glory. Now you say, well, I thought Jesus laid aside his glory. Well, he did lay aside his glory as far as the deity, but we're going to look at that in here in just a minute too. But as far as being Son of God, but he was anointed by God, by the Holy Spirit, with what? That glory. And you could say Spirit of God here. But John chapter 1 verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now here just in class just the other day, our class Understanding Grace, we were talking about in that class the connection between the grace of God and the glory of God. There's a great connection between that, between God's grace and God's glory and the truth of God's word. The glory, we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father. Look at John chapter 17. Here, as Jesus is speaking to the Father right before, you know, in John 18, he gets arrested. And interesting, when he said to them, he said to them, whom do you seek? And they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. The King James added the he. He just said, I am. And when he said that, every soldier, everybody came out against him, fell backwards. Amen? Why? Because of the glory of who he was. Look here in John 17. Verse 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven, said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now let's stop there for just a moment. This life eternal, this Zoe, this life of God. How do we partake of the life of God? And what is it to us? It's to know God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, when I know who God is, you see, and I know who Jesus is, it tells me who I am. God is life. He is life. He's absolute life. There's no death in God. He is life. Right? And in him is the light of men, the Bible says. Life and light. Well, that glory manifests a lot of times with that pillar of fire at night and that cloud by day. But he said to have eternal life, that they might have eternal life, which is to know you, God. Now, not I'm acquainted with him. Not I know who he is, but I know him because he's living in me and I'm living in him. Amen. And you almost get to the place where does God stop and I begin, and where do I end and God start? Where you become one with him. Amen. And so then Jesus goes and says this, verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now notice, why would Jesus say that? Because he laid that aside to come and minister on earth as a man. Now look over here in same chapter. And verse 18, he says, as you have sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Just a passing thought here. Notice what Jesus said here. I sanctify myself. I set myself apart, not for his benefit, for others. When you start thinking about living a sanctified life, get you off your mind. We live a sanctified life so we can minister to others. See, our motivations have been wrong. We've been trying to do things because, we have to. No, I'm doing it because I'm motivated by the love of God for people. And therefore, I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm not going to partake of that because I want to help others. And Jesus said, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified. But that wasn't my verse. Let's go. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Well, then that includes you and I right there. He just included you and I in that, in his prayer. So we are part of this prayer. But let's read 21 and then 22. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. See, one. Not just one with one another, but one with God. He's in us, we're in him. Verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. What's he saying? He's made us exactly the same on the inside by his presence, by his glory. We're one together by that glory. There's not different glory. It's not different Holy Ghost. It's the same Spirit. It's the same glory on the inside of us. And we're one. Now, he's given that to us. Now remember, we qualify because he said, I'm praying not just for these 12 here that are here now, actually 11 because Judas is already gone. But those disciples that were there then, he's not just praying for them, but everyone who believed. Well, one way or another, we've all believed through them, through that in their word. Now look over here in 1 Corinthians. Now, you imagine, here's Jesus, okay? And he's doing nothing but harm to the kingdom of Satan, right? While he's in his earthly ministry. And, it looks like he has defeated God by defeating his son. Okay? But God had hidden something, and Paul talked about it in a mystery. And Paul said, I'm preaching to you that mystery. Now let's look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Well, that's that glory coming out. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Which, now notice this. Now see, just don't take, don't read that. That's not a mistaken word there, for our glory. He's not talking about for our praise. God didn't do anything so we could get praised. He hid it. It's ordained before the world that we should be a container of the glory of God. I fully believe that Adam was clothed with that glory. That's why he didn't know he's naked. He's clothed with it. Well, he didn't know he's naked because he wasn't naked. He had clothes on. It was the glory of God. Him and Eve both. Okay? But when he sinned, what happened? That glory departed. And he realized he's naked. We ought to be so aware. We ought to be the same way. If that glory, whoa. Something's wrong. Right? We ought to feel naked without the glory of God active in our life. So aware of God's glory, God's power in our life. Amen? See, that's when we start living this way, that's when your shadow starts healing people. Amen. Why was the Jesus coat? Why could she get a hold of the hem of his garment? Because that glory is just flowing out of him. It's saturating everything he has. Amen. Had the princes of this world known, notice this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the devil had known that the same glory, the same power that was in Jesus was going to be in you, he would have left Jesus alone. Because now he's dealing with that glory all over the world. Not just on the shores of Galilee, not just in Jerusalem. He's dealing with that same glory in you. And if he'd have known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now go over to Colossians chapter 1. See, that's the great mystery. That's the great mystery, that God would come and live on the inside of man. That the glory of God would reside in not vessels made with clay, but in vessels made with hands, but in vessels made by God. Our bodies. Colossians chapter 1. Let's see here. Oh, boy. Let's start in verse Genesis 1:1. No, let's not go back that far here. Let's see. Verse 23 says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for the body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now notice here again, Paul said almost something, the same thing Jesus said. The ministry that was given to me, the dispensation of God, the grace of God given to me was not for me, it's for you. See, it's not about me. If we're going to operate in the glory, you're going to have to make it about other people. Whereof I am made a minister. Why? Because you're already going to heaven. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now notice this. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now, everybody say now. Now is made manifest to his saints, that's us, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, that's why we say Christ in us is the glory of God. That's the confident hope, the expectation of the glory of God, Christ in us. Well, when do I enter into that? When I get in Christ. When I've declared that Jesus Christ with my mouth, believed in my heart, and said with my mouth. When I've called upon the name of the Lord. That's the mystery. That's the mystery. Christ in us. The hope of glory. All right? Now look at Isaiah chapter 60, I believe it is. That glory that shines. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Living our life, being God inside minded, that the glory of God is in me. You know, we've caught ourselves and we've become just because probably we've heard others say it, like, "Lord, send down your glory." Well, I understand about the manifestation of the presence of God, and that's great and that's fine. But that glory that would come from heaven's already in me. It's already in you. Right? It's in us. Hallelujah. "Arise, shine," he says, "for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you." Well, what's the result of that? Look at verse 3. "And the Gentiles," those outside of covenant with God, those that don't know God, "shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." How are we going to win this world? By letting that light shine. And I'm not talking about, you know, this little light of mine. You know, I'm not talking about this little hide, something you can hide under a candle. I'm talking about lighthouse light. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the light, the glory of God, so in manifestation that people can't stand in its presence. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth talked about going to, you know, getting on buses in England and people just fall down in front of him trembling and saying, "I repent. Pray for me. Pray for me." Just because he hadn't said a word. But that glory is in manifestation. Amen? And we're not talking about, you know, trying to figure out the 88 ways to the highest glory today, okay? We're not talking about, it's not about, you know, doing a list of rules and doing all these things. It's about just changing our thinking, renewing our minds to the fact that God is in me. God's in me. I'm not trying to get God. He's already in me. I'm not trying to get God to move. He's already moved, and he's moved in me. You know, I never could figure out why Paul prayed in Ephesians 3 that Christ would dwell in our hearts. By faith. I thought we were already Christians. Until I looked up that word dwelling, it means to be at home. To be at home. That glory, it ought to be such a natural thing for us to walk in the power of God and the glory of God that it just feels at home in us. Amen? I know when I go back to my parents' home, I feel at home. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, it's just like I've told you before, mom and dad got a refrigerator out in their garage, and there's every type of cold drink you can think of out there, you know, from water, which I never touched. No, I do get waters, but you understand. And there's a pile next to it of just cases of ready to restock. Now, I thank them for it, but I don't ever ask permission for it. I just go out there and open the refrigerator and get what I want. Why? I'm at home. That's my mom and dad's my father. He's not going to tell me no if he's got it. Quite honestly, I don't even ask. I just tell him thanks. After I probably drank it already. I said, "Where do you want the empty?" You know, every once in a while they're recycling. You recycling still or no? And, oh, all right, just throw it, you know, in the garbage disposal, trash thing, you know. What's that thing called? Camp compact. What's it called? Trash compactor. I've never had one, so I don't know. I just use my foot, you know. You can got one at the end of your foot, right? The glory of the Lord. He goes on to say in verse 4, lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to you. Look at this one. Your son shall come from far. Your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then shall you see and flow together, and your heart shall reverence and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto you. See, where's the money going to come from that's going to finance this last day revival that we've heard so much about? It's already here in the world. It's not going to rain down from heaven. It's the forces of the Gentiles coming unto us. Why? Because they're coming unto us. They're not going to be that. They're not going to be them. They're going to be us. Right? And they're going to bring their stuff with them. And they're going to do their part. We're going to do our part. But that glory, that power of God. Amen. That glory, it's in us. And we don't have to operate where we think, well, if I could just, you know, if I could just have an... No, you've already got it. I don't care if you've been born again, you know, 1 minute, you've got the glory of God on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And I've been, I really do think, and I've been, you know, thinking about this here for several years now, and talking to some people about it. I've mentioned it every once in a while, depending on the situation. But I really think, you know, for the body of Christ, I really think we've got to quit being the woman with the issue of blood, and we've got to be the person with the garment full of the glory. Right? I mean, we've got to make that transition. Because I'm already healed. Because by his stripes I'm healed. He told me I was healed. And that glory is in me. What sickness or disease? I mean, they put the bubonic plague in the hand of John G. Lake. He said, test it. They said, Lake, you got to get out of Africa. The plague's going to kill you. He said, no, it won't kill me. It dies instantly when it comes in contact with me. It's, oh. And he said, well, let's test it. And they put some of that active plague in his hand. They looked at it under the microscope, then put it in his hand, and they put it back under, and it died. It was dead after it was in his hand. Now, you just don't do that, you know. But Lake knew that power was in him. He knew the glory of God was in him. He's also the one that they hooked him up to the brain scanner. And he said, measure this when I begin to speak in tongues. Pray in tongues. And his brain waves just went, whoo. It lit up when he prayed in tongues. He liked to put things to the test. Amen. Well, are these things we're just going to read about? Or are we going to be part of these things? I don't know about you, I want to be part of these things. I'm not one, you know, the Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. Not these believers shall follow these signs. I don't want to be keep running after. Oh, I heard somebody got healed over here. Oh, I got to run over there. Or somebody got healed over there. I got to run over there. No, I'm leaving a trail of people healed as I just go around and do what God's called me to do. Gentiles, people getting saved, they can't help it. Why? That light, that glory of the Lord is drawing them. And when they get to it, it says he'll draw them to you. But when it gets there, what are you doing? You're glorifying Jesus. Right? You're lifting him up. Because why? It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about him. But he's in me. And really, it's his glory, not mine. So if it's in manifestation, they're going to have to see him, not me. Amen? I know some of you right now, your brain might be tilting, but something on the inside stirred. Something's rumbling on the inside. You're thinking, oh, dear God, you're telling me that God is in me, that power is in me, that glory is in me, that same glory that God gave Jesus is in me? Yes, it is. That same glory that was there and the manifested. Now think about this on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. The Bible says they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly a sound like a rushing mighty wind filled the place where they were sitting. And tongues of fire sat upon each of them. Now again, not little, you know, not our little lighter things, big lighter, you know, little deal on our head. Filled the place where they were sitting. Evidently they were sitting. But what happened? God, the Spirit of God, the glory of God, literally came down and sat on them. Now here's the thing. God had told Moses, you can't see my glory. He said, I want to see your glory. God said, you can't see me. You can't look on my face and live. He said, I'm going to put you in a cleft of the rock. And when I pass by, I'll put my hand over your face. And when I leave, then you can see my backside. And Moses came down from that mountain with that glory so shining on his face, the people said, would you please cover your face? We can't even look at you. And in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, if that glory was so great, that was the glory of death, the law, how much more shall the ministry of life in the new covenant be much more glorious? Well, I don't know how you mean to tell me that that light could actually be seen upon people. Was it seen on Moses? And we've got a better covenant established on better promises. Is that right? So then think about this then. The best of the old is the least of the new. If we've got a better covenant established on better promises, then whatever the best of the old was in the new, that's the least. That's just the starting place. Amen? Look at all the things that happened in the old covenant. You don't think that stuff's not in the old covenant? That stuff's not available today? It's absolutely available today. When you're doing what God's called you to do. Amen. I'm talking about things that don't make any sense, but God does them. We'll have to be God inside minded. And thank God he said he'd never leave us. He's not moving out. Don't run him out. He's going to stay with us. He's for us. He's in us. Now, don't, it's like Brother Hagin, you say, what's he doing? Just hitchhiking a ride through life? No, he's in there to what? He's our comforter. He's our standby. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's our strengthener, glory to God. He's our divine paraclete. Amen. And he's the mighty Holy Ghost, well, or the glory of God, the presence of God in us. Amen. Well, these are things, you know, begin to think about. Begin to, you know, get in your Bible, grab your Bible, and just start looking up the glory of God, especially in the New Testament. Look at it. There's like there's over 150, I know, references in the New Testament about the glory of God. The same word, it's interesting, the same word translated glory is translated honor. Like when Jesus said, I don't receive honor of men, I receive honor that comes from God. Same word. Honor and glory, same word translated that. It's interesting. Interesting. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, well, let's go ahead and stop there for tonight. We want to receive our special love offering from Pastor and Mrs. Hagin. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Let me pray over what we just heard. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, I just pray to rise up and live big within each and every one of us. Help us, Father, to know more and to understand more concerning that glory that's in us. Your glory is in us, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.